anyway.
You know, this is a unique type of an assignment for me. You know, I do get a few chances to speak occasionally, but here it's like very focused. Usually, I tell people, you choose the topic, and I'll say the same thing anyway. But over here, we have a very special focus tonight, so I'd like to try to address that focus. I understand that you just arrived. I understand that you're leaving from here to go to the Kosel. I assume to daven there. It's what we do there. And I'd like to try to put that, the Kosel and our relationship with it, in a certain broader perspective, which maybe will add to the appreciation of the opportunity that you have. First, let's talk a little bit about what the Kosel has always meant. If we go back, I don't know, not too many years. Well, I don't want to say how many years. I was once traveling on a bus in Meir Shorim, and was close to Pesach, and I see a short little woman schlepping a sack of potatoes off the bus that was taller than she was. Got up to help her off, and then I realized she doesn't live at the bus stop, obviously. So I schlepped it already, helped her to her little one-room apartment in Meir Shorim. And she says to me, I wish I had something to pay you to show my appreciation. She says, but I don't have anything now. She says, but I want to tell you a story. She tells me a story. She says, ask me if I know Binyamin Tzadik. It's Binyamin Zilber, who was a very famous person in Bnei Brak, passed away a number of years ago. I said, yeah, I happen to have known him. And she said, I want to tell you a story. She says, many years ago, a yeshiva bocher, this Binyamin, comes knocking on my door. He says, are you Gittler from Meir Shorim? She says, yeah. He says, the Chazon Ish sent me to you, and he said that you have my Basher Tzivik. You have the woman that I'm supposed to marry. And she almost panicked, she says. She was childless. She had no children. She didn't know what he wanted. The Chazon Ish sent him to her to say to Gittler and Meir Shorim that she has his Zivik. She says, come back tomorrow. What did they do in those days when they didn't know what to do? She ran to the Kosel. This is before 48. She runs to the Kosel, and she's standing there, and she's crying. Help me, you know. I come to you to help me. I don't know what to do. The Chazon Ish said, I have his Basher Tzivik. All of a sudden, she notices a woman standing next to her, and she sees her crying. And she turns and she says, what are you crying about? He says, I have a daughter, such a wonderful daughter, such a Yerushalmayim. Bekitzer, that was the Shidduch. So the Kosel has always been the place where things happen. When we go to the Kosel to unload, we come back loaded with really what we're looking for. Sometimes we see it immediately like that. Sometimes it takes a little while. But the Kosel is really the place that Ramban says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that is, what's the lotion? Ineza oimein achar kosleinu, that the Shechina will always remain in the Kosel HaMa'arovi. So this is like the closest that you can get to the Mokum Hashoras HaShechina. Another story from a different world. One Shabbos morning, this guy in this long white limo pulls up to the Kosel, runs out, grabs one of those, they used to have these cardboard yarmulkes there, and puts it on, runs up to the wall, pulls out a little piece of paper, shoves it into the wall, and runs back, throws back the yarmulke, gets back into his car, and runs away. Shabbos morning this was. And the chevre there were very intrigued. What is this chiloni doing, and what is he putting into the kosel? So you know, in Yerushalayim, people are very hamish. So one guy must have walked along like this, you know, like trying to see to it that the thing falls out. And it fell, and the next guy, he said, it fell already, he picks it up. Somebody read it, and it said, please, Hashem, please help the Tel Aviv soccer team beat the Haifa soccer team in this afternoon's game. The Kosel is the place of the Shechina, even to those people who have very little shaychus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'd like to trace this Hashoras HaShechina back in history for a few moments, with your permission. And the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Tsroir Hamoir Doidi Li Bein Shodai Yolin. And Rashi explains, you know, the Moshel is a chosen and a kala, and the relationship that they have and the estrangement in their relationship. But let's leave that for a moment. The Rashi explains the Nimshel is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, right after Har Sinai, the Lashon Rashi uses is, while you're still standing under the chuppah, you went and you defied the relationship, you defiled the relationship, you cheated on the relationship, you went and you did the Egel, whatever that was. They were great tzaddikim, and certainly not an Avodah Zarah as we appreciate it, but it was for them a terrible mistake. He says, right under the chuppah, you stabbed me in the back. Here, I just married you, I just expressed my love for you, I gave you the Torah, and you run away. Bein Shodai Yolin, Hashem says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a Mishkan. And Bein Badei Ho'oroin, I'm going to be Mashre Mashchina. I'm going to place the divine presence right between the Badei Ho'oroin. As the Pasuk says, also the Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Soicham. We're going to read it this Shabbos morning. So, look at that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bemoaning the fact that Klal Yisrael treated him in such an inappropriate way. Just under the chuppah. Imagine the insult. Under the chuppah, she runs away with somebody else. It's like, you can't get any worse than that. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to that is, I'm going to be Mashre Mashchina. It's as if he's saying, I took you out of Mitzrayim. I took you through the Yamsuf. I brought you to Har Sinai. The Pasuk says, Yishokeinim in Shikoi Spiu, that the Har Sinai event was like HaKadosh Baruch Hu kissing Peh El Peh, showing the ultimate intimate love to Klal Yisrael by giving us his Torah. I just expressed the greatest love to you. And what do? You go and, you know, betray me. Hashem says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to express more love to you. I'm going to express a love that's going to be permanent. That Shechina, I'm going to be also the Mikdash v'shochanti b'soichom, and even when the Mishkan is finished and they build the Beis HaMikdash, and even when the Beis HaMikdash is b'churbono, is nechrav, in that Kosel Ma'arovi, my Shechina will remain forever. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, or expression, or response to our compromise and to our betrayal of him in the greatest moment of his expression of love. So this is something that's very special. The Mokum HaShechina not only represents the place of the divine presence, which to us is a little bit hard to comprehend. It's a very abstract concept. He is the place, he's the address that the world is located. The world is not his address. So like, what does it mean, HaShoras HaShechina? Well, I don't know exactly. But what it does mean is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to the shortcoming, to the betrayal of our love of him, is to love us even more. To show us even more. To say that I will create this Mishkan, give you this Mishkan, and Bein Badei Ho'oroin, that will be the place where my divine presence resides, I guess in a sense more than any place else in the world. And that's the expression of how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. I think that not only when we go to the Kosel, but every time we stand in Tefillah in front of Hashem, Alachas kama v'kama, if we do it in the Mokum HaShoras HaShechina, where it's promised that even today, the Mokum HaShechina still remains there. That means that gift of expression of love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu originated after the Chet HaEgel remains to this very day. When we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have such an opportunity to connect. I mean, it's such a privilege. Such a privilege. Not only was the Beis HaMikdash a privilege to Klal Yisrael, but the Pasuk says, Ki Beisi Beis Tfilo Yikori L'chol Amim. Goyim from all over the world, they still come today. Goyim from all over the world came to the Beis HaMikdash to pray, came to the Beis HaMikdash to bring sacrifices. recognized, the world recognized, the world still recognizes to this very day that this Mokum HaShechina is the place, that's the ultimate place of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what a privilege it is to be able to turn to Hashem, what a privilege it is to be able to go there to turn to Hashem, and to really connect as close as possible. There's something else when we're in a place where we connect. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all over, and our tefillahs can work all over. But the purpose of our tefillah is the connection that we feel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The schus of tefillah is the fact that we turn to Hashem, that we're beseeching Hashem, that we're begging Hashem, that we're praising Hashem and realizing that everything comes from Him. At the place of the Hashoras HaShechina, it's much easier to do that. There are many props that we do in Shmoneh Esrei to give us that sense of we're standing in front of Hashem. It's a machlokes poskim, but we step back and then we step forward as if we're walking to stand in front of the Melech. We bow down. We lift our heads when we say the Shem Hashem. We stand in awe and in reverence and focused, according to Reb Chaim, the Rahilur's Pshat in the Rambam, that kavona is ma'akiv in the whole Shmoneh Esrei. Oymid lifnei Hashem. I'm standing in front of Hashem. And we step back as if we would step back from a king and bow down as if we're to tell us the message. He doesn't need anything from us. But it's a message for us that we should recognize that we have the privilege of standing lifnei melech malchei hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asking him anything we want. And that privilege is magnified manyfold when we stand in front of the closest place where we can feel the Shekhinah. And we can be inspired there, and we can feel it more than maybe any place else, because it's the closest connection, it's the closest, it's in the closest proximity that we can bring ourselves, and therefore we can feel more that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore ask Him and pray to Him. I want to say something about tefillah too. Many people feel that they don't want to bother Hashem with mundane things. Hashem, I just said, I'm going to ask Him, I want this, I want that, I want a new bicycle, I want a pair of roller skates, I don't know, I want a new car, whatever I want, you know, like, come on, you know, talk to Him about the ruchnias, talk to Him about the stuff that really matters in life, the stuff that He cares about, not the cheap stuff that's, you know, that's really a mistake. The Chayyodim writes in a tzavor to his family, that when they finish Shmoneh Esrei, before they step back, I guess after they said Yula Rotzayim, they should ask for anything they want. Bedafka. He says, even if you don't understand the Lashon HaKodesh in any language, because that's what tefillah is. Tefillah is the expression from our hearts of the needs and the desires that we have. And the truth of the matter is, tefillah is it's not nice to say it's irreverent a little bit, but a brilliant concept. Say that what Chazal instituted, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instituted. But I'll tell you why. Because tefillah accesses the total human being. We have a neshoma and we have a guf. And normally when we do something, we ruchniyistic a thing, I say psukim, I ask, I speak. So I'm talking about ruchniyis. But tefillah is for the gashmiyis. We ask for das, and we ask for forgiveness. We ask for refuah. We ask for our needs. We ask for parnosa. We ask for... So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this system where we unite or invoke the total human being. My body is also on board with this tefillah because I'm asking for the bodily needs. I'm asking for the personal needs. I'm asking for the things that mean so much to me in my mundane existence. And therefore we can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with any mafriyim. You know, normally the body interferes. You know, you want to sit down to learn. And the body says, I'm hungry. I'm tired. I don't have zitz flesh. I need a drink. I need a coffee. I got to go check my email. I got to know ichveis vos. You know, the body has all kinds of pulls in different directions. But over here, we unite the whole body with the neshoma and turning to Hashem and help me with my bodily needs. Help me with my material needs. Help me with my physical needs. Help me with my parnosa. Help me with my health. Help me with all of the needs of life. And that's a tremendous ability to get our entire being close to Hashem without being distracted or without having part of it distracting us because of its other mundane needs. I want to just leave you with one more thought. There's a power inspired by tefillah, often inspired by tefillah, which can go even beyond tefillah. I want to give you two examples. One is from the Mishnah, the Gemara, and Brochus. The Mishnah says, "Hatzoyek l'sheovar harezu tefillah shov." One who prays or cries out for something which is already past, it's called a tefillah shov v'sheker, the Rishonim call it. It's false and it's in vain. It's nothing, because one of the examples the Mishnah gives is called svocha be'ir. You walk into a city, there's screaming fire, and there's obviously a fire in someone's house. Oh, yehirotzon shlo yehei b'toch beisi. Please, Hashem, it shouldn't be my house. If it is, it is. If it's not, it's not. But if it is, it is. Tefillah is inappropriate. That's false. You don't really mean it. You can't ask for something that happened already. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa b'Hilal Azoke, who walked into the city, he heard the kol svocha, and he said, Botuach ani she'ein zeh b'toch beisi. I am sure, I have bitochen in Hashem, that it's not in my house. And on that, and on that, the Gemara is matzik his bitochen with a posuk, Mishmoro lo yiro nocho libo b'toch b'Hashem. That's appropriate. That bitochen doesn't have to be afraid of anything. If he has bitochen, tefillah can't help you. If it's burning, it's burning. Don't ask me how. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows who's going to have bitochen, and therefore that house couldn't burn. I don't know. But bitochen helps even when tefillah can't. The Or HaChaim says a similar thing. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says in Parshas B'Shalach, where Hashem says to Moshe, "Ma titzak elai, dabre el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso." Paro is chasing them from behind. The Yamsuf is raging in front of them. The wild animals are on both sides of them. And they're crying out to Hashem, help us. Hashem says to Moshe, what are you calling out to me? Speak to Bnei Yisrael, tell them to go into the Yamsuf. The Orachayim says, Ma titzak elai? To whom would you like us to pray? To whom would you like us to call out? Of course we turn to Hashem. He says, no. He says, when they came out of Mitzrayim, there was a kitr. Something the Sotan had, maybe because of the Avodah Zorah, Mitzrayim, that the Sotan had some ability to interfere with their tefillahs. So he said, the tefillah's not going to help right now. But Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'Yisov, when they show their emunah and their bitochin, that they walk into that Yamsuf unafraid of the raging waters and trusting that Hashem will make it happen that they can go through, that's the schus. That's going to help them. That emunah, that bitochin, will help them even where tefillah could not have been effective. So here too, I would suggest that as we reach ever higher levels of tefillah, as we connect ever more with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we feel that we're at the closest proximity to the Hashoras HaShechinah that we can feel, let's try to take that tefillah and take it even a step beyond. Because tefillah, you know, the Goyin says that the shirish of the word tefillah is from the posuk Re'oi Ponecho Loi Pilolti. And Rashi says that Pilolti means Yaakov said to Yosef, I didn't allow myself a positive machshova to think that I'd ever see you again. Tefillah is like a positive machshova. It's like an optimism. It's like a form of bitochem. When a person turns to Hashem and praises Hashem and asks of Hashem, and after each bakoshi, he says, Baruch to Hashem, you're the Reifi Cholim, you're the Mevorich Hashonim, b'chulei, b'chulei, he's strengthening his emunah. And the strengthened emunah can give us more schus and power, even where the tefillah might not be as powerful at that moment. So I think you have a very unique opportunity right now. You're going to the closest proximity we can come to the Shekhinah. You're going there to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to ask Him to the Beisi, Beis Tefillah, Yikori L'chol Amim, where everyone has gone, the one who needed the Shidduch, and the one who needed the Tel Aviv soccer team to win. And this is the place, this is where it's at. And we can turn in Tefillah, And through that tefillah, we can be v'chazak ha'bitochon, and we can be zeicha to all types of brocha that maybe is beyond even what we can imagine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help. That you should be so inspired when you reach the Kozel, that your tefillah should be so heartfelt, they should be so uplifting, they should affect the response, the positive response, the desired response, kol mishalis libchem should be fulfilled, and should be a stepping stone to ever greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ever greater bitochon, which will provide a schus even beyond that. Hatzlocha Rabbah.